Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, good evening, everybody. Great to see you all tonight. Thank you so much for coming out on a Saturday night. We have a great crowd for a Saturday night. It's good to see you all. And as Naomi mentioned, obviously today is September the 11th. It's 20 years. Can you believe it? You know, it's amazing because I was still in South Africa when this happened. And, it's like you hear stories from so many people about how they'll never forget where they were when it happened. I remember it was exactly the same for me, even in another country, how the whole world just stopped in that moment because of the terror that hit the United States. It was unbelievable. And, you know, one thing that really was astounding that came out of that was just the way our nation pulled together in that moment. I really believe that's the heart of the United States. I believe that's the heart of this nation. And the enemy so desperately hates that. That's why he'll do whatever he can to tear us apart in this nation. And so we have to stand as the church, at least as the church, stand in unity. We don't argue about natural things. We know that our battle is against flesh, against principalities and powers, not against flesh and blood. And so this week, as I was preparing, I've been working very hard on my series that I'm starting tomorrow. I'm very excited about it. The series I'll be beginning tomorrow is Who is the Holy Spirit? And I have never done such an in-depth study on the subject of the person of the Holy Spirit. And so I'll probably be taking between 4 and 6 weeks to discuss the Holy Spirit specifically. And it's awesome because it runs right through into our Tabernacles, which is next weekend. Here at Oceans, we believe in celebrating the feasts because the feasts belong to the Lord. And I'm a child of the King, amen? And so if I'm a child of the King, I want to celebrate His feasts. And so we know that even this last week was the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. In other words, it's a Jewish New Year. And so what you need to understand is that like in our calendar, God also has a calendar. And so this is a new season, and it's an exciting season, I believe, for the things that God wants to do on the planet. As spiritual people, as children of God, it is important for us to know what God is saying right now. How many of you want to have a relationship with God where you get to hear what's going on? Amen? That's the way it's supposed to be for us as believers. It's not only supposed to be one-way communication. So come out tomorrow morning as we begin this new series. I'm really, as I said, really excited about it. But as I was preparing this week, you know, over the last few weeks, one thing has become very obvious. And that one thing is that with everything happening right now in our nation, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety, there's been all kinds of things that people disagree on, vaccines, masks, all this stuff, and it's caused people to behave in ways that, well, you know, so we'll just leave that alone. But from this comes all kinds of things like guilt, bad, you know, self-image, depression, all kinds of things have come out of the season that we're in. And even with today being September the 11th, you know, I know people are, you know, again, afraid. What's going to happen? You know, are we going to be okay in America? Are we going to be okay? And those are relevant questions to ask, but how many of you know that God is in control? Amen. He is in control. He is leading us. He is guiding us. We have nothing to fear. The Bible tells us over 300 times that we shouldn't fear. I don't think there's a theme that's so explicit, so expressive in Scripture, that's so clear that this one thing we should not do as believers, because we have a different destination and we live under different rules. Really, we do. Can you say amen? So in this time, it's been difficult. You know, as a pastor over the last few months, we've seen a lot of people get sick in our community, not only in the church, a few in the church, a few in the community, people we know. We've even seen some death. We've seen some loss. And that's been very difficult. I'm walking a road with many of the people that have lost individuals. And that's hard. It's not easy to go through things like that. It's not easy to, you know, have a family member that's not well. So these are realities that we are facing right now. And so the Lord gave me a word. And what it was he said to me, the gates of praise. Now, when we talk about the gates of praise, I'm going to show you something tonight that maybe you've seen, maybe you haven't. But this I know you've seen before. Let's go to Psalm 100, verse number 4. Don't worry, I won't preach long tonight. Don't do that. You might regret it. If you encourage me, I'll keep you here all night. Amen. Now, the scripture says in Psalm 100, verse number 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That's what the Bible says. Just give me one second. Sorry about that. All right, but maybe you can't hear it, but there's like a whole song playing somewhere. And I know I'm not in the spirit at this moment to hear like heavenly music. I hear the piano and I like that, but this other stuff is not, it's not normal. Okay, all right. Psalm 100, verse number 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. You see, I want to start with it. The scripture is clear that we should enter his gates with thanksgiving. We should enter his courts with praise. Most of you have heard this at some point in your walk with God. At some point you've learned that we approach God in a way with thanksgiving and we approach him with praise. We all kind of like know that, right? But what's important for us to understand when it comes to specifically praising God is a very powerful thing. But I think one of the things that we sometimes misinterpret or we kind of like misjudge with regards to why we praise is really the reason. What is the reason why we praise? What is the reason that we give the Lord praise? Now, the truth is, if something great happens in your life, like it's easy to give him praise, right? Like, you know, something wonderful happens, you get a blessing, you receive something, or something unexpected, wonderful happens, or you feel joyful, or something good happens, and it's easy to raise your hands and give the Lord praise. That's a natural response to something good if you're a half-decent Christian, right? You respond by giving God praise for the good things that he does. That's just a normal response. So whenever we go to God, we approach him with thanksgiving and with praise. But how many of you know that there are times in your walk with God where you just really like praising him right now just doesn't feel that easy? Praising him right now with circumstances and things going on around you just doesn't really feel natural. Do you know what I'm talking about? So it's kind of like almost against specifically the way that you feel. Amen? So if we look at this scripture, verse number 4, we see something very powerful. I'm going to show you something out of scripture tonight that I really believe is so important for us to grasp and understand. And there's a reason why God sets us up this way. You know, God is so good. He says that we should enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. But why? The next verse tells us why. The next verse says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. He gives us three reasons why we should praise him. He says, number one, because the Lord is good. He says, number two, because his love endures forever. And number three, he says, he is faithful through all generations. In other words, you are going to give him praise not based on how you feel. You are going to give him praise because of who he is. You see, you don't praise God out of your circumstances. You praise God based on who he is. And I don't know about you, but I know that the God that I serve is a God that is good. He's a God whose love endures forever, and He is faithful through all generations. Let's go to Psalm 117, verse number 1. Psalm 117, verse number 1. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. That's us. Laud Him, all you peoples. But why? Why should we do that? Look at verse number 2. For His merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Now you see, I love this, because at the end, He says again, praise the Lord. In other words, listen, based on who God is, based on who He is, we have reason to praise Him, because His merciful kindness is great towards us. Listen, if you don't need that merciful kindness, well then you're very lucky. But I need that merciful kindness. I need His truth that endures forever, because in a time like this, when there's so much rubbish thrown at us, so much confusion, so much weird stuff that the world wants to persuade us that is truth, I know I need to grab a hold of something that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, something that endures forever. And the psalmist here starts in verse number 1 by saying, praise the Lord. And when he just mentions the merciful kindness of God and talks about His truth, he has to once again say, praise the Lord again. But again, you need to understand something, because many of us think that the psalmists in these situations were having a great day. Everything was going really well. But I can assure you, and I can prove it to you, in Scripture, many times they are giving praise not based on how they feel. We want to give praise based on how we feel. But that's not how God works. See, faith is the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it. It's the evidence of things hoped for. You can't see it. It's what you hope for. It's what you haven't seen yet. But you know who He is. You see, you know what He's done. His word never changes. His truth remains the same forever. Everybody say forever. Come on, that's the truth of God's word. It is forever unchanging. It is the same forever. And His merciful kindness is available to you and me, regardless of how much we complain, regardless of how much we moan, regardless of the mistakes we make. If we go back to Him with sincere hearts, He is good and faithful and will forgive us our sins. Amen. Yeah. So the reason why is, again, not based on our circumstances. Let's take a look at another one. Psalm 95, verse number 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. That's praise. Are you with me? Don't get mad at me. It's in the Bible. If you got upset in that moment when I said shout, if your religious bone just began to shake in that moment, I want you to know that you are resisting the Holy Spirit, because you must understand. Your theology will not cause the spirit of heaviness to leave, my friend. But the garment of praise is a different story. You see, you don't praise out of your circumstances. You praise because you know who He is. And when you know who He is, and you begin to praise, and you begin to shout, and you begin to clap, and you begin to make a joyful noise, no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. But why should we do this? Why should we shout? Why should we come to Him with psalms? Why should we do this? Why should we come with thanksgiving? Verse number 3. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also His. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. The reason we praise him, the reason we shout, the reason we give him thanks, the reason we worship him is not because of how we feel. The reason we do it is because of who he is. You see, that's why the Bible says that you should walk in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Once you begin to grasp that the God that you serve, if he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if that's your God, that God created the sand on the ground. That God created the stars in the sky. You see, we read the Bible and it starts like this, in the beginning. But do you know that he was before the beginning? Do you know that he did things long before you were even thought of? Can you say amen? He is the God of everything. Your feelings are based sometimes on your environment, but God lives outside of your environment and can bring his environment into your environment, and everything can change just like that. And the reason why is because of who he is. How great is our God? We don't give him praise because of how we feel. We give him praise because of who he is. Amen. You see, oftentimes we don't feel like praising. Oftentimes, I mean, I know what it's like, man. You have a bad day, you go into your room, you close the door, you want to try and pray, and you know, it's just like really difficult, and the last thing you feel like is putting on, you know, putting on praise worship. You want to put on Everybody Hurts. You want to rather put something like that on, you know what I mean? You know, rather just get into the moment and just feel the pain, you know. Just lap it all up. Just, you know, let it just consume you. That's how we feel. But you see, we don't submit ourselves to the God of this age. Are you with me? We submit ourselves to the God of the universe, the creator of all things. Everything, including this age, was made by him. So I submit myself to him regardless of how I feel. And the only reason why I can do it is because I know who he is. You see, that's why the psalmists could write these psalms. No matter what was going on, no matter where they were, they could write these psalms and they could give him praise because they knew what he did. They knew that he delivered them out of Egypt. They knew that he parted the Red Sea. They knew that he fed them in the wilderness. They knew he was a cloud and a pillar of fire. They knew who he was. Are you with me? And so they could praise him. What we want to do is we want to complain when everything's going wrong and use our mouth to spew all kinds of evil. Don't feel alone. Naomi does it too. Amen. Not me. Psalm 106, verse number 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to our Lord. Why should we do it? For he is good. For his mercy endures forever. My God, I cannot tell you how many times I've gone before the Lord with this scripture and said to him, Lord, I'm so thankful to you that your mercy endures forever, that your loving kindness endures forever. And it's taken me out of a low place and restored my soul based on who he is. You see, remember, the Lord is good. He is good. And so because he's good, we know that he will restore us, that he will heal us, that he will deliver us, that he'll break the chains. Can you say amen? That's the God that we serve. One or two more. Psalm 9, verse number 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Why should I praise him with my whole heart? I will tell of your marvelous works. You see, I can praise him because I know what he's done. I can praise him because his reputation is perfect. There is no one like our God. I have seen what he did before. I know what he'll do now, and I know what he'll do in the future. And it's not based on everything that happens around me. Psalm 7:17 says this, and it starts straight by telling you why I will praise him. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. You see, I will praise him because he is righteous. There is no one righteous like he is righteous. His judgments are true and fair. There is no one like our God. So I have reason to praise him because I know who he is. But you see, it's amazing because even though that should be enough, the reality is that when you start to praise, no matter what's going on in your life, something does happen. You see, the wonderful thing about God is that God created us for himself. And it's amazing because it requires us to go to him and say, Lord, here I am. I believe that you sent your son to die on the cross to save me. I believe that you want to restore the relationship between you and me. I am now your son. I've been adopted. Can you say amen? Amen. So now I serve the Lord. I'm a child of the King. I have all of these privileges. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that I can serve him, that I can follow him, that I can be led by him, that I have this relationship with him. I'm so grateful for it. I think sometimes we forget just how good he really is. We forget where he's brought us from. Unfortunately, we go through things. We go through difficult things. And when we go through those things, we need to take a hold of who he is and what he's done and know that he can do the same thing even now. But you first have to go to him. And when you go to him first and say, here I am, Lord, I'm going to praise you even out of the pit. I'm going to praise you even out of the belly of a fish. I'm going to praise you no matter what, Lord. No matter how rough it is, no matter who I've lost, no matter what's happened, no matter the pain, no matter who it is, I know that you are still good. I know that you are still there for me, that you will still get me through it. Listen, your pain and what you're dealing with, it is very real. But so is the God that you serve, who can help you through this, who can bring you out of this, who can give you comfort. Can you say amen? But what I love about God so much is that he doesn't just stop by saying, I'm so glad that you're praising me. This is so wonderful, son. You're doing a great job. But God does something when we praise him. He always responds. And what he responds with is far beyond what I think most of us comprehend. You see, there is always a spiritual aspect to everything going on around us. You may not realize it, but you are in a spiritual battle right now. There is a spiritual battle, and you are the battle because you are a temple. And what type of temple will you be? Will you be his or will you be the world's? Who will you submit to? Who will you allow to use you? Who will you allow to speak through you? Who will you allow to affect, and then not only affect you, but affect others? Which force will you choose? And when we choose him and we give ourselves to him, despite our circumstances and what's going on, he responds. And the Bible says this, it's so beautiful. So powerful. I should have been up here already, you know. Psalm 34, verse number 3. Psalm 34, verse number 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That just tells you, when you're exalting the name of the Lord, you must understand the Lord is, his name is like, how much time do you have? He is our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our strong tower. He's our captain. He is so many names. But the Bible says that let us exalt his name together. El Elyon, El Shaddai. Those are all his names. And when you begin to understand what those names mean, you begin to understand his nature. That's why the Bible says, let us magnify him. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. Look at this. And he heard me. You see, when you make a decision to begin to praise, when you begin to cry out to him based on who he is, on what he's done, on his reputation, he will hear you. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what's happening right now. He will hear you. And look, and delivered me from all my fears. Listen, there are people in this room. There are people watching me online. You have all kinds of fears right now. You have all kinds of things going on right now. You've had all kinds of things happen to you up until this point. But what are you going to do right now? You see, you must understand something, that you can praise a little bit here and you can praise a little bit there, but there comes a day where you'll have to stand at the wall. And when you stand at the wall, you'll have to give a shout so loud that the walls fall down. There comes a moment in your walk with God where you have to just believe. You have to take a hold of who he is, and you have to just let it all out and give him the highest praise and the highest worship and the highest shout and the highest exalting that you possibly can because of who he is. All right, let's give the Lord a shout. Come on. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we worship you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse number 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Look at this. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. But it starts with someone saying, Lord, it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter these chains that the enemy's trying to put on me. It doesn't matter what the media says. It doesn't matter what POTUS says. It doesn't matter what anyone says, okay? You just got to shout to the Lord. You've just got to cry out to the King and know that he will deliver you out of it. Because that's what he does. That's who he is. That's what he's done. He will not change. He's the same. He's always the same. He's always consistent. He's always reliable. And I love this part. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. And this is not a weird kind of fear. This is an acknowledgement of who God really is. Just how powerful, just how mighty, just how awesome he really is. And when you begin to do that, you must understand that there are even angels that will be sent out to bring that deliverance to you. To minister to you in your pain, in your hurt, in your fear, in whatever it is you're dealing with in that moment. If you still choose to seek him, if you still choose to praise him, if you still choose to go after him, he will deliver you. He'll send his angels to encamp around you. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a shout and a clap in this place. See, all I'm doing is giving it to you in another way, but let's read it plainly. Let's go to Isaiah 61, verse number 3. Isaiah 61, verse number 3. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning. In other words, it doesn't matter all these things that are happening to you. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You see, when you begin to praise him, it doesn't matter what the enemy puts on you. It doesn't matter what he tries to do to you. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You must understand that that garment of praise is there to set you free. That garment of praise is there to protect you. It's like angels that get sent to cause deliverance to come to you. That garment of praise is nothing normal or natural. that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. You see, I remember many years ago, and this is a long time ago, but the Lord reminded me of this film that I watched. I don't remember the film, but I remember the scene. And in the film, there was this woman that was running away from, I think, like some bad guys, you know, terrorists or something. And she was in another foreign country, and she was a U.S. citizen. And she was running for the consulate. And when you have a consulate in another nation, that consulate literally is United States of America soil. And that consulate had big walls around it. And how many of you know, if you can get into those walls, if you're a U.S. citizen, you are safe, right? And so this woman is running, and they're running after her. And you can imagine the anxiety and the fear that if they catch her, that they're going to get a hold of her and they're going to stop her. But she manages to get through the gates. And as she enters the gates, as she enters these gates, they immediately close the gates behind her, and there's this big U.S. soldier standing there, and he says, "Step away. Step away." In other words, she's with us now. You can't touch her now. She's on U.S. soil. You have no right to her anymore. You see, God showed me something, that praise is like gates. Now, let me give you a scripture. Watch this. The reality is that we are sometimes going to be, even though we are already saved, even though we are washed by the blood of the Lamb, the fact is that the enemy will sometimes come after you. He will come after you. He'll try to stop you. He'll try to cripple you. The best place you could be is right where you are. He doesn't want you to go any further. As long as you stay right there, he's fairly okay. And hopefully after a set period of time, if you stay in the same place, you'll begin to get frustrated, you'll begin to get stagnant, and then you'll begin to go down. If you're not going up, eventually you're going down. You don't stay in the same place. You either go up or you go down. And the enemy wants to keep you right there, so he'll come after you with all of his heart. Now watch this. Let's go to Isaiah 60, verse 18. And this was the word of the Lord to you this evening, this next scripture. Isaiah 60, 18 says, "Violence shall no longer be heard in our land, in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders. But you shall call your walls salvation." Listen to me. The walls of salvation is a safe place. You see, in the Greek, in the New Testament, the word salvation means sozo. Salvation means deliverance. It means breakthrough. It means healing. It means restoration. That's what salvation is. And in your life as a Christian, salvation is like walls of protection. But oftentimes, in order for us to be able to step into the fullness of that salvation, and I'm not talking about eternity, I'm talking about walking out your salvation. In other words, if you've been rejected, you have a right, because Jesus took that rejection away from you, to no longer be rejected. If you've been hurt, if you're suffering from depression, you can get away from that, because salvation is your walls. But sometimes there is one thing required. You see, salvation, the walls, he's done for you. But in order for you to get through to those walls and take a hold of everything he has for it, take a look at what the Bible says. It says, "Violence shall no longer be heard in the land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise." You see, praise is the gates. And in order for us to inherit and step sometimes into this, into the fullness of that salvation that God has for us, we have to give Him praise. The way in, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of how we feel, regardless of what's going on right now with you, regardless of all of that, the gates to go into that fullness of salvation is praise. The enemy doesn't want you to praise. He wants you to feel sorry for yourself. He wants you to stay in your pain. He wants you to stay in your rejection. He wants you to stay in your hurt. He wants you to continue to hate. He wants you to continue to despise. He wants to cripple you. He doesn't want you to do it. But you see, in order for you to step beyond those walls and inherit the fullness of the salvation that God has given to you, there are gates of praise. But there are things is you the one who has to praise in order for you to be able to take a hold of the fullness of what He has for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I just, when I read the scripture, I saw just like that movie of that woman running to those gates, because her salvation is her protection. It's everything she needs. But if we're not prepared to go through those gates, if we're not prepared to give Him praise, even in our circumstances, we will not walk out the fullness of that salvation. It doesn't matter what's going on the planet right now. It doesn't matter how bad it is right now. It is bad. That's what the world wants you to feel and experience. But that's not the God that we serve. You can be living in that and have a whole different environment around you. The garment of praise, the gates of praise that will utterly and totally destroy every work of darkness in your life tonight. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Today is enough for itself. You need to deal with your issue that you have, your pain, your hurt, your fear, your anxiety, whatever it is, tonight's the night. And listen, it's not going to happen with pastors laying hands on you. It's going to happen when you decide to praise Him because of who He is. When you decide to praise Him because of the great salvation that has already been provided for you. You can choose the world. You can choose the ways of this world. But remember, when you do, you are also crippling yourself with the things of this world. Whereas tonight, God wants to set us free. You see, when you begin to praise, that garment comes and destroys the works of the enemy. Many of you are just like Joshua. You see, just like Joshua, I always picture it in getting ready to go out and deal with Jericho. What a daunting task. What an unbelievable, impossible thing. But he surrenders to the Lord. And in that moment of surrender, the Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord came to him and told him, listen, I'm with you. You see, you already have that assurance. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. That's your guarantee. That's your seal. He has sealed you. He lives in you, waiting for you to shout, to praise, to release the things that the enemy has on you. The only one who can do it for you, though, is you. You're the one who has to praise Him. You're the one who has to believe that He is who He says He is, that His word is true. Well, I don't believe it. Well, then I don't think you're saved. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Don't get mad at me. Don't get theological now. Stay with me. God wants to do a miracle in many people's lives because the spirit of heaviness is trying so hard to suppress our nation. But God is calling us to be the light in the world in this moment. Tonight, in this place. There's no mistake that so many of you came in tonight, because God wants to meet with you right now. So how do I do it, Pastor Alex? It's not that difficult. All you do, and we're going to do it in just a moment, we're going to praise the Lord, we're going to sing, we're going to dance, we're going to do whatever. But in that moment, it's not a moment of getting caught up in the moment. It's a moment of praise and honor and thanksgiving to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in that moment that you just release your dignifiedness, your self-righteousness, your theologicalness, all the nisses, in that moment, if you can just say, Lord, here I am. I want to be like you said I should. I should be like a child, have faith like a child. I want to be like that tonight, Lord. And this thing that's been holding me back, whatever it is, fear, anxiety, I don't know what your situation is. Could be addiction, could be anything, but tonight's the night that it breaks. Because you're going to give him praise because of who he is, because he is great. And greatly to be praised. He is worthy of the highest praise tonight in this place.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.